And so we'll open the meeting, and the first order of business, even before not to the attendant, is trying to establish a chair for our meeting. And I don't know that there's guidance in our terms of reference on how to do that, right?
Well, if you make a nomination for Mike Garland.
Yes, if anyone has a nomination or would like to chair, they can introduce themselves.
I'm just a volunteer. I think a paid person should do it.
No, because I'm not supposed to. I'm not really a
volunteer staff.
I'm just
not a board member.
Advisory.
But should be a committee member. He's not actually a committee member. Yeah.
I default.
You can yes.
Will you accept?
I shall.
Okay.
Right.
Give a mover and a seconder.
And the last name is Garland, as well as Mr. Judy.
Okay. So you're the safety guy.
I am indeed.
Okay.
You gotcha.
Okay. Do you have an extra copy of the agenda? No.
I don't have that.
No, it's okay.
Okay, if we can, we'll also get this squared away. So adoption of the agenda. So are there any additions to the agenda that you would like to add at this time, please? Failing that, may I have someone put forward the motion to accept? Seconder, please. All in favor? Thank you very much. Okay, next one is adoption of the minutes. Hopefully everyone's had the opportunity of reviewing them. Are there any errors or omissions in the minutes, please?
I just had to make a notation that I believe it was the first 15 minutes of the last meeting was not recorded. Is that right, Bernadette?
It was not audio recorded, but it was recorded in the minutes.
So was there enough of content to, I think I had been presenting to you, Bob, what was, on the traffic business of the Quantum One, so that's what was
in the minutes.
Yeah, that's good. And the only other thing I wanted to add that back down here under the round table that I had made comments on harmful effects of EMF, and I didn't see anywhere in here, but at the end I had requested Tunis that we could somehow arrange a public committee meeting, and he was so very kind to help arrange that. So I really want to acknowledge that because that was very important that we were really paying to have that community meeting, and it was so well taken care of.
Yes, I think that was in the minutes.
See what it says is we talked about it.
Councillor Westbrook will mention the need to council, and that you would like, or I would like a room to host the session.
Yes, okay. That's good.
Okay, then, so based upon those amendments, any other changes to the minutes, please? I have a motion to accept the minutes as amended.
Mm-hmm.
Seconder?
Okay.
Thank you very much. All in favor? Very good. Business arising from the minutes, please. So anything in there, I think we've addressed a few of them. There has been that meeting from the last time to address the concerns on EMF, and I think that was handled quite well. Any other things that coming from the minutes, please? Hearing none, we shall move along. Okay, recommendations from council. So just to review that again from the July 20th meeting, that the letter dated July 6th, regarding traffic on Berwick Road South, be referred to the Select Committee on Public Safety and Emergency Preparedness for their comment. Is there anything that came out of that, Bob, per chance?
We haven't done the data collection on that section yet. The crew has been directed to set it up, and we will make that a permanent location where we continue to monitor as things develop in East Village. I think that's one of the concerns. So we'll get some baseline data. Shortly, and then we will continue to monitor over time.
Very good. Is there any need, in your estimation, for an education at that point? Perhaps a speed watch set up to educate and remind motorists of the speed? Would that something be worthwhile, in your estimation?
I think it's always worthwhile. I don't know that it's yet worth it because the traffic lines there aren't that great. Not like some of our other locations.
Okay, so with advisement, then we'll perhaps just wait for the traffic monitoring.
Yes.
And then we'll proceed from there. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, then, from the August 24th meeting, and that was not her. So I guess that
she's on there.
Oh,
I'm
right
here, Michael.
I didn't recognize you.
Can't see your picture, but we can see your name.
I'm here.
Well, actually, it's good to see you, not because we can't see on the monitor here, but hey, welcome. Good to see you again.
Thank you.
Small world after all. Okay, then, new business. Project update from the staff. Robert, take it away.
Project update. Well, I guess everybody's seen their crossings at Hemsworth and by the Shady Rest. They're both fully functional. We were in a data collection mode there for a while before we installed the driver feedback sign just by Hall Road. So we have it collects its own data. So we'll just wait for a couple of downloads to see what the results of that are and then make some conclusions. I don't know if there's any feedback from any of the users on the languaging or time as it's on it. I think the crews have sort of took it upon themselves to make some happy faces and various other things. So certainly take any recommendations from users or any observations from people as well. Another thing I just like to point out is...
Could you speak up, Bob, because it's hard to hear these on the audio later.
All right.
Thank you.
The Rodway Trail is now complete, fully functional, from the end of our view street down to the pedestrian activated crosswalk by the Shady Rest. I would encourage anybody to go look at the stairs that we've installed there. That is the standard by which we will be replacing other stairs in town, such as at the top of the Grand Creek Trail by Thornley Road and the set that goes from the end of Hall Road down to the end of Judges Road. So I'm quite happy with that. I don't know that we have many other transportation projects or safety projects that we're going to do very near smiling at me.
Well, just all the line painting that happened?
Well, we have the contractor that does our wet line painting we can get done this year. We had some additional markings done by the roundabout that we were waiting to get done in thermoplast because we can't buy paint. We have obtained some paint and we are doing some painting in town, but it's non-standard paint. However, we are endeavoring to improve the visibility of some of our lines and curving in town.
It makes quite a difference, for sure, from what we've seen so far.
It's a popular upgrade, and doesn't cost that much. However, as I've sort of reported before, the hurricanes and various events that happened in Texas destroyed a 3M plant that significantly impacted the supply of traffic marking paint. And the provinces able to get some, as well as the one of the largest contractors, but we have not been able to get our hands on that paint.
Thank you very much. That's a good update. And again, it's nice when you come to a different meeting and you see the advancements that have been made since that time. So, and good job liberating paint, by the way.
The only other one that we've done, and we haven't had much feedback on it, was the relocation of the 70 kilometer per hour sign on Rupert Road. It used to be immediately to the west of the roundabout. Just as you pulled up that hill, we moved it to the far side of the Jones, Hilliers, and Rupert Road intersection. Hoping to promote a little more safety to that section. I don't know that it will have a big impact on speeds. That may be another location that you might want to sort of monitor and do some education. And that intersection at Hilliers, Jones, Rupert has actually become quite a high crash site in recent years and some serious crashes there. And it is due to be reviewed in our upcoming update of the age-friendly transportation. So it may need some traffic calming elements at the intersection.
Well, I know that that through the RCMP, we've actually gotten some feedback from folks that are saying it's a lot easier now getting onto the road and making a left-hand turn now that speed zone has been adjusted. Because again, people aren't ramping up the hill as much now, knowing that the speed zone hasn't. It's going to be an educational process, but I think that's definitely one that we will definitely look at getting some folks out there for speed watch for sure.
I travel that route a lot,
And I think it's made a big difference. It made a big, big difference. So, 5 years.
Subtle changes can have a big impact. Look at that.
Yeah, there you go.
And I was sure you mentioned the speed reader at Hole on Hole, near Hole.
I didn't.
Oh, you did. You, sorry, that's right. That's
yeah. I couldn't hear the question.
And I just, I missed it. I was typing when he mentioned the speed reader with the smiley face on near Hole Road.
And if I may, again, pretty awkward being the chair. To that point as well, we have had some comments from people on Hall Road that want actually speed watch on the other side, because as people are going up the hill, they still haven't left, because really that 70 zone doesn't start until you get basically closer to Milner Garden to allow people taking a left-hand turn to get onto the highway. So it's certainly been very effective keeping people coming down the hill, but we have had a few inquiries for us to put the speed watch for people going up the hill, meaning just thinking that because they see trees, they don't think there's any residents living there anymore. So that's just an observation from what we've received from other residents. So,
Mr. Chair, if I can ask this question, if you think I should ask it now, this is from Todd, our provost, our president, around the questions of traffic that were submitted to Mr. Weir, our engineer, regarding Village Way and Hall Road, and also Hemsworth. Should I bring that up now?
If you wish, we can do that as part of the roundtable, so you can start the roundtable discussion. How's that?
Okay, sure. Okay, thank you. So, Mr. Weir, as our engineer, these are a couple of questions that Todd, Provost, President of Quakamwood Residents Association, I believe, has sent to you. One, are there any traffic calming measures for Highway 19A between Village Way and Hall Road that might complement Council's recent improvements of the crosswalk and car-activated speed sign near 19A and Hemsworth and increase safety for all users?
I am familiar with the question, and there are no planned traffic calming improvements for that section, and as I have previously related to Mr. Provost, I think on several written correspondence, we do not see huge problems there. And there's not the kind of friction on that road that would really suggest the need for the implementation of traffic calming measures in that section.
I believe there has been communication back and forth that you are more familiar, and Todd's not here. I'm just sort of reading the question for him. And the second was on Hemsworth, and I'll relay, and it'll be on recorded here, your response. Number two was on Hemsworth Road between Chester Road and Dogwood. Are there any pedestrian safety measures and improvements which might increase the comfort level of residents using Hemsworth Road?
There is a planned initiative of council to improve a walking trail on the unbuilt part of Hemsworth Road that is adjacent to the Brown property. It would not be contiguous with the road, it would be a separated pathway, and that is not currently funded, but it has been identified by council as an initiative because it is a linkage between Dolly Mount Trail and the Brown property, the new crossing with Hemsworth, and the stairs to Judge's Road. So it is in the works. It will likely be brought up at next council strategic planning session, and probably as a suggest. And I think the other question that was asked by Mr. Husband, but it was by residents of Colton, was the speed to be posted on that section of Hemsworth between Dogwood and Chester.
Yeah.
I think it's currently 30. That's non-standard, and we suggest that it be made 40. Should be in multiples. I can't remember what it's at, 35, 70. I think we suggest 40, and that is at the 85th percentile speed suggests that would be an appropriate speed, and there is very, very low traffic on this section.
He has one other comment here, if I may add. He says, if you recall, he was writing this email to me. They changed it from 25 kilometers to 30, raising the speed limit, even though the local residents complain about this. Their own data confirmed it's for the section between Chester and Dogwood, parentheses, a narrow section.
Yes.
Is that what he's talking about?
Yes.
So he's talking about it changing from 25 to 30, and I think if I heard you, you that you would
there are, there are some old legacy signs. We don't know where they came from, but they are not standard. We intend to change them up and make them compliant with recommended practice.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, Carol, anything else that you'd like to bring up?
Yes. I don't know if this is the time, but if I'm up, I would like to just take this opportunity very much to thank Council, to Ms. Westbrook for helping us arrange the July 25th meeting and just take a few minutes to just summarize what happened. So I'm addressing you as the Qualcomm Beach Public Safety Committee. Remember tobacco, cigarettes, DDT, asbestos, they were all acceptable 50 years ago, and then we learned the devastating effects. Our big concern when we made our presentation, and we represent well over 200 citizens that were writing letters, is to be safe from EMF electromagnetic radiation. Councilor Westbrook invited us to hold this meeting on the subject at the Civic Center because we included two positions which had been turned down by the Qualcomm Beach Council four times when we requested to be a delegation at Council these past 2 years. And he got up publicly and said, the CRA is even recognizing the cost of protecting oneself by granting a tax deduction. Lloyd's of London and other reinsurers do not cover the harmful effects of EMF. Marcus Schlusman, an EMF expert, demonstrated how our bodies react to EMF, and it was well attended. Our chair, Kunis, and this is my main point here, impressed by the effect of wired in versus wireless, said they are changing their house over to wired only. We, too, along with many other families, are making changes in our homes. Cell and wireless phones out of the bedroom, using airplane mode, microwave gone, wired in benefits, and so much more. I won't go into all of the details of the symptoms that I had, but they have been eliminated since we've been able to make that change. Now, my husband, Dr. Fred Dow, is here today and can take a moment to explain that difference. That's always been the question people ask. What does it take to change from wireless to wired in? And may I allow Fred to speak to that for a minute or two?
Well, he's not a member of the committee.
But he's part of the presentation that was made, called by Tunis.
Okay, then. Well, I don't have it here that we have any guest speakers today. So I think in the out of respect for everybody else, we can certainly invite Fred to have some comments after the meeting, but I think within the realm of decorum, I think we want to keep this so that we just address and give everybody the opportunity.
No.
But by all means, everyone is always welcome to speak tonight afterwards and to ask some questions after the meeting, please.
I respect what you're saying. I think that this is a public safety meeting, and as much as we can learn that will benefit us is great. I'll just say briefly that the big thing that is talked about is the Ethernet cable that can be utilized. We were just at a couple professional people's houses, and they were just thrilled to see how actually quite easy it was to make this transition. And then just to wind up by saying that we had, I'm going to pass these out to you, this photo here of Mayor of the Council, Westbrook, and our MLA Walker, and Julie Austin from the school board was there, as well as Fred and myself, a photo. Lastly, to say there was a 15-minute video which Bernadette was very kind to send to all of you, which very clearly explains what happened at that meeting. It is very educational and beneficial to us all to share with people and their families. And then say that there are, I've also included a couple of websites, one being to contact the public environmental officer, who is willing to receive any letters if people are having symptoms, and will come out and do a measurement with a meter. And I have brought one along if anyone wants to receive that. And a copy to the Qualcomm Beach Council and MLA Walker and to us. And we would be happy to help in any way that we can.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I'll pass this along to you if I may. And the others that are on the screen, I can email this information to you as well. This little slip of paper talks about the different symptoms. That's another big question that people ask. What are the different symptoms that people are experiencing? I pass that down to Bob there. And thank you very much.
You're most welcome. Okay, so we'll get, I'm trying to figure the best way. So who would like to speak next? How's that for Ida?
Okay, Chartwell, Bob, you had some traffic monitoring on Sunrise, and I haven't seen the results yet.
I sent them to somebody.
I never saw them.
I'll send them to you. Maybe I reported to council, but we did not see excessive speed there. As a matter of fact, we barely saw people doing 50.
Well, that's good because I got a resident that phoned me twice a week and asked me what's going on.
Right.
Well, I don't know. I'll try to find out for you.
Well, you know, there's a resident that emails me regularly too, and I wonder
if it's the same person.
I might share some information with him, but I'll get all the street data for Sunrise Country as well as Mural Bowman, I think we did as well.
Oh yes, I know he did, and I never saw that one either.
Okay, I promise I'll get that to you.
Okay, thank you very much. That's all I got.
Okay,
perfect. Good. Well, maybe we'll do a, can I just go to virtual or somebody else at the table who want to speak next?
Well, I'll just say a very little bit here. I'm sort of a sub today for the Quality Beach Seniors Activity Center. And first of all, I guess I'd just like to thank the committee and the council for the work that they've done on my behalf. As a biker and as a hiker and as a walker, some of the trails that have been improved along various ways, even getting down to the beach on the main road to town and the one out through towards the ravine and so on, has made walking very, very good. And when we had our fundraiser for the hospice, our seniors were very pleased that they could walk quite a distance along that route and come back and feel relatively safe as well as they can with walkers and whatnot. So I'd like to begin with that. Pat has asked me to bring up a couple of things for your consideration. And he's concerned about the stop sign on Qualcomm Road and Ment Road. Firm? Did you mention that at all? I'm sorry.
No, actually, could you repeat that again, please?
The Qualcomm Road and Ment Road and Firm. Just that stop sign, he feels sometimes that people can assume that a person is slowing down to the stop sign and so begin to turn. Now, I don't know what the accident rate or if there's been any problems on that corner. No. So maybe that's something for consideration down the road. I don't know.
Well, to the chair, Qualcomm Road and Ment Road Fern are actually two different intersections. Fern Road is actually where the Delamont Trail goes through.
Mm-hmm.
And Ment Road is, it sort of follows Fern's alignment and then sort of veers off and follows the tracks. So is it the one that Mance and Qualcomm Road?
Yes. There's a train.
Well, that's complicated by the fact that people do not respect the stop signs of the train tracks and treat them like a situation. And I think that complicates it.
Yeah.
And it's a similar situation at all of the locations where I have questions to track people. And this is, it goes to another point I've made about traffic, like signs and elements. If the public do not believe that it's warranted, they will not respect it. And that's probably contributes to our problem there.
But if it isn't a big issue, there's not been that many accidents.
No.
There would be something for another time.
You can have sort of close calls or you should have stopped for me, and things like that, but it's not showing up as a high crash site.
I think the problem there is that people treat it as a three-way intersection when it's not. It's a stop sign for the trucks, and it's one stop sign for Ment Road. And there is some confusion when someone's stopping at the tracks and someone stopped at Ment Road, they're not sure who goes first. Well, the person who is going straight through on Mulligan Road has stopped for the railway tracks. They haven't stopped at the intersection, so they have the right of way. And I think that caused the confusion there sometimes. I know that's for me and other drivers looking through there. And so it's a tricky situation and all the tracks where there's stop signs on them. But as far as I'm aware, we have not had any, I'm not saying we haven't had crashes there, I don't know the data, but we certainly haven't had any significant injury crashes at that location since I've been here, and I've been here almost a year, so.
Yeah.
And I've lived in town for a year, so I don't recall any significant injury crashes there, so we wouldn't be focusing significant enforcement in areas where there aren't significant injury potentials.
Yeah. Yeah, I've noticed a couple of things there, but nothing that caused the crash, but certainly something that came to my attention. But I will say one thing that I did notice, and that is in downtown, with the increase in traffic, and I know that we're evolving. I've been here for 25 years, and I loved it here. We have had a business here, we've worked here, we've volunteered here for 25 years. We love it. But I have noticed, it used to be that if there were two people at the stop sign at the same time, nobody knew when to go because there was no other traffic around. Right? You were trying to be polite. But traffic and people are increasing, and this summer, with the RVs coming through Main Town, along with, and I hate to say this, because I know I'm a business person, and as a business person, but when you have these movie media people come and they've got huge trucks that are blocking full lanes, and I can't tell you how many times I look over and somebody's coming down the wrong side of the road, or they're cutting a corner, and they don't know how tight it is, and they haven't made the swerve big enough, and I just hold my breath for something to happen. Because you've all seen them parked, you know, around QF and when they were here filming, which is great. I love it. But I know in the future, all I'm saying is put it in the bucket list for sometime down the road that we consider how, I'm not saying these people shouldn't be here. I'm simply saying we may need to look at how we manage that.
If I may suggest, one of the things that always, things don't happen unless they're documented. So unless somebody actually writes that there is an issue that they've identified, it's very hard for planners and very hard for policing to be able to do anything unless it's documented. So if it's a trend that is happening and there are specific incidents, then I would suggest that you definitely want to be recording it and passing along, because again, the stuff doesn't get done in a vacuum. It requires the feedback to be able to get that sort of information. So it may be a frustration, but until it's documented and becomes a safety concern, it's very difficult for anyone to really be able to address it, because you're looking for a solution. It's right. This is the whole idea of bringing up things like this. Right?
And I realize that we're in a growing community. You know, people are wanting to be here, and our population is increasing all the time.
Correct.
And our exposure to tourism, which is all wonderful. We just need to make sure that we're aware that it is happening. And if a letter will do that, then I will certainly keep that in mind and make sure I document that, because I don't want anybody, there was a gentleman that got hurt because an RV cut a corner.
Yeah.
And
well, again, I think we can address that. Are there a few other items you'd like us to?
No, I think I'll leave it at
that. That one? That's the one that we
missed,
isn't it?
You go on that long, but.
Okay, no, that's fine. But again, I think we found a way of trying to address that and get that to the forefront. Sergeant Worth, is there anything you'd like to?
No, in terms of generally, I'll just generally public safety in the town, we've had nothing I think out of the ordinary for calls for service in the town that would cause concern in terms of public safety. Just a note on the traffic enforcement front, as everybody's likely aware, we don't have validation tags anymore for beach license plates. So that funding from the money that I get saved through the validation tag, some of that funding is going to go to ALTR technology, which is the automatic license plate recognition technology. So what that is that there are devices that go on the tops of police cars that can read license plates as vehicles go by, as they go past them, as they go come toward them, and it identifies plates that are stolen, vehicles that are stolen, people who don't have driver's licenses, people who are prohibited, who are unlicensed, people who are wanted, so it pops up right on the officer's screen in the car as opposed to the officer having to type in the plate. So that is coming. We've been slotted for one ALTR or one of our 12 marked cars, so that is coming from IC. So that'll be a good tool. That's going to go on one of our traffic cars. So that would be a good tool for enforcement for our officers. I'm excited to have that. I did follow up with Mr. Provost from Quality Woods Red Association, and we talked about, he talked about Highway 19 and that Hall Road in Hemsworth there and just some of the improvements that have been made by the town. And that was positive feedback there from at least Highway 19 and
and the improvements and the speed sign, was very happy to see that. Barry told me. Yeah, that's it. We did have some enforcement out. I know our office, our traffic officers anyway, spent some time down the front of the beach, and maybe spent some time along Highway 19 and Hall Road and Hemsworth Road. And there are speeders. There's no doubt. There's certain kind of people who will be speeding. That's what we're out to get. Most people are traveling under the speed limit, but like everybody at the city is likely aware, enforcement area is quite large. We're not just looking at the town for enforcement. We have enforced from Petrocan, North of Bay Road, North of Cook Creek, and west of the Cameron Lake. So we have a large area to enforce, so we're doing our best to fly the flag and go honest out there with their driving.
Excellent. Well, thank you, George. Good feedback. That's good feedback. I guess we can go to our virtual audience. So, Bill, may I ask you to participate?
Sure. Thank you. Excuse me. Haven't got very much. I sent to Bernadette a note that we received, an email we received, and I passed it on. I took some of the stuff out, but it was to do with the walking paths, and particular the two locations that cross Highway 19A at Yanbury and at Country Club. A concern that there's difficult in some cases to cross there because of traffic, and it exposes people that are a little slower, maybe myself, as you cross those, and there's no hash marks or lights there. So that was a concern that the individual sent to us, to the EvoCrest Association, asking us to take it forward to this meeting. And I don't know that it can be changed. I have no idea. We've got the maps here. They're out now and there for people to use. I don't have a comment to take back to her unless something can be done there to improve that those crossings. And the other thing is the roads in Eagle Crest, as you probably know, are reasonably narrow. People take their lots out to the edge of the asphalt, unfortunately, then put rocks there, and it makes it difficult for traffic and wheelchairs and walkers and so forth to navigate the roads. And that's the sum of the note we got from this individual. And I told her I would carry it forward to this committee and leave it with you, because I certainly don't know there's a solution unless the rocks are moved and some type of a crossing indication that 19A can support the pathways.
If I may note that based on that, for administration and staff, is that something that we could take a look at?
Certainly, through the chair, we have previously attempted to deal with the traffic control rocks placed on boulevards by residents. It's kind of a bane of public works and parks and snowplowing, especially, that they're there. A few years ago, we did get direction to remove them, only for council to receive a lot of backlash from private residents, and they reversed their instructions to get rid of them. We are trying to take it back to new council. To sort of get their governance issues straightened out and then take clear direction on what we should do with them. Because I really think that they should not be on the boulevards. And there's two edges to this. One is, we had this experience in Qualcomm Woods where we had complaints about Qualcomm Road not being wide enough to have a pedestrian accommodation. So we widened the pavement, painted pedestrian accommodation, then we started to get complaints that people are traveling too fast because the pavement's wider. So in Eagle Crest, although the roads are narrow and the improvements do come up against the road, the presence of walkers on the road and the low volumes of traffic, I mean, it's hopeful that people are respectful that the cars slow down and that little bit of friction just keeps it, to the kind of circulation that's safe in the neighborhood. And that's, I think that's the preferred method, that looking at Eagle Crest to try and widen the shoulders and make a better pedestrian accommodation, because we'll probably get the increased speeds and complaints and everything else. We will certainly endeavor to convince council that they should support us in getting rid of the traffic control rocks. But I can't promise that, but we will endeavor.
Well, so again, Bill, at least we've got it recorded, and again, good having that background, that's for sure.
Good. Thank you. Yeah, I'll take that back to the association, and they can, and we'll send it on to the individual that sent us the email. And I don't know about the crossings. I know it's a difficult thing. It's costly to put lights in with buttons so you can push them to cross, and that goes for I guess Hall Road and probably Hemsworth too. I don't know, because there's paths across the highways there also. So it's not just one place, it's several places. And it's, I guess, council will have to think about it.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much, Bill.
That's all we have. Yeah, thank you.
Excellent. Yes, next up on the marvelous screen of wheel of screen here, let's see now, Len, Mr. Hooper.
Mr. Chair, when there is an appropriate time, I'd like to respond to what Mr. Weir said about the quantum rule, because there are a couple of suggestions.
Yeah, but you have the round here, so give everybody their opportunity right now. Please,
Len. Good afternoon, folks. Not much to report from me. The emergency communications team is still doing their either by Zoom or starting now to be getting together face-to-face again. But other than that, not much to report from me. Sorry, I forgot to put my headphones on to start, so I was getting not hearing what everybody said. But, hey, that's the way it goes.
Well, I just want to say on behalf of the committee, I really appreciate the work that the group does, Len, and again, knock on wood. Let's hope that everything stays the way it is, that's for sure. Hey, next up on the screen here, Danella, how are you doing?
I'm good. My apologies, everyone. I'm not physically able to be there, but Michael and I had a good chuckle about this. So I grew up, born and raised in Qualicum Beach, and it's only taken me 47 years to actually get on a committee. So I'm pretty excited about that. So I'm on the committee as representative of the Qualicum Beach Chamber. We have been on summer break, so I don't have anything to report, but we are meeting next week. So I will poll the crew, and I will be prepared with some questions, I'm sure, for everybody on this or from the chamber. So that's all I have, Michael. Short and sweet today.
I like it. Thank you so much. It's great to have you on board.
Thank
you. And next up, some feedback from Mr. Marshall. So, Don, anything on the bylaw side of things?
No, not much from my side. It's just business as usual. I hate to use that term, but just keeping an eye on the homeless and parking and traffic issues as best I can.
Excellent. Nadine, you know what? You're always on the go, that's for sure. It's hard to find you in a still spot.
You're right.
Okay, well, thank you very much. If I may, just to step aside as the chair for one moment, just two things for Oceanside Community Safety. We've been doing a lot of speed watch deployments in and around Qualicum Beach, and one of the reasons why is that we've had to move all of our equipment here. Unfortunately, the City of Parksville no longer is able to host some of our equipment. So so far in September, we've done six setups in and around Qualicum Beach. We did eight in August. We did another five in July. And also, we did some in June. And we're also working hand-in-hand with a lot of organizations, keeping things safe. So, for instance, when St. Andrew's Lodge had their two events, Speedwatch was out there reminding motorists that there was an event in progress. And again, that's another way of keeping people educated. And again, we don't want to surprise them. We're not enforcement, we're education. And again, those are the type of things that you know, your citizens who are a part of Oceanside Community Safety are more than happy to do. Another initiative we're working on right now, the town is actually working on a project right now on bicycle safety. And of course, everyone knows with the advent of e-bikes and some of the changes, and I think they're going to make some very substantial changes. There is a working group that is on the side right now trying to come up with recommendations for shared paths. So Sergeant Worth knows that anytime that you have conflicts, so be it a motorist
or you have a pedestrian or you have someone on a cycle, you're always going to have conflict, and you're trying to mitigate those as best you can. We're going to look at perhaps putting together an educational program where we'll be able to ask some of the pathways that reminding people to be safe, to be respectful, and to share the space. And a couple of the notes that have gone out in the newspaper recently, like, for instance, e-bikes, I don't know if you realize it, but you have to be 16 years of age to actually be on an e-bike, and you must wear a bicycle helmet. And those are not recommended. Those are musts. So, again, there's going to have to be a very large educational program out there because we are seeing conflicts. Even people on the scooters right now that are now electrified, some of these e-bikes can go up to 30, 40 kilometers an hour. And they perhaps don't belong in a bicycle path, specifically the ones that are designed for pedal power. So I think this educational program, in conjunction with what the town is doing already, you will probably see more of it in the near future. So we've gone around the table. Carol, you said you had one more question here, so
yes,
if we may.
Thank you, Mike. And so, Mr. Weir, it's around this discussion of Quantum Road and how the road widened, and then it became even a larger problem. And as you know, I brought up in the past so many times the need for the bicycle staff. I've been down to Parksville. I have seen so many bicycle stands on so many streets, and I wonder why we can't get it on Qualicum Road. And there's also quite a number of residents who have talked about protecting our children with signs that say, you know, slow down children. I think some, I don't know, there's some signs that have gone up. Is that from the town of Qualicum Beach, or is that on their own, or from you, or from where?
Again, I guess I can say through the chair. Basically, BCAA works with the Block Watch Society of British Columbia, and we bring signs and we distributed signs out of the local office here. We're waiting for the fall supply. With back to school just happening and a lot of these programs ramping up, we put a request in for another 48 signs to be distributed through our office here. When we get them, we will certainly advertise and we'll certainly promote within the community. And definitely, what we tell people that these signs, unlike a permanent sign, you want to be moving these things around so people always notice that it's different. I have one in my own lawn, and it does make a difference when you have it out there and then it moves around because it doesn't become just part of the furniture.
Yeah.
So
getting back to the relationship of this question, there are also a lot of dog walkers on Qualicum Road as well as pedestrians and there are scooters. It just seems that somehow that side path, that apron, could be delineated, a bicycle stamp, something would just make people aware as they make the turn, slow it down a little bit. What do you think, Bob?
We reviewed this with a transportation consultant before. It is not a bicycle lane. It's merely a shoulder, and it shouldn't be painted other than that.
Through to the chair, exactly. The white line is actually called a fog line. And it's a
fog
line.
Right.
Yeah. It's basically to help delineate traffic so that you stay within the lanes.
So, keeping in mind what I've just said, some of the comments of people walking dogs and people with scooters and pedestrians walking, what do you recommend? Would be the...
Through the chair, since it's me, I'm not really enjoying this part of it, actually. We came up with basically seven points, and these are the short little statements we think are important. Be courteous. Again, conflicts. Be alert. Be safe. At the end of the day, we're all responsible for our own safety. Be predictable. And that's a big one for those that have dogs that are on leashes that run out in front of vehicles, run in front of other pedestrians. Don't block the path. Again, that's being courteous. Be visible in the dark. And that's if you're a walker or even on a bike. And pets on leash. And that is actually one that comes up more often. And again, this is going to be more of a factor as we get electrified bicycles. We're going a lot faster and don't have the capacity to stop. So we always say when we're doing speed watch, speeding is not an issue, stopping is. Every one of you can beat the Motor Vehicle Act. There's nobody on this room here or online that can beat the law of physics. And that's what we're trying to do, educate people with physics to be able to stop. So I guess courteous, the alert, are the biggest bywords, and you're going to see a lot of more of those as we start putting signs up.
We have a lot of elderly people in our neighborhood, and they may not put these words into effect. And I say that respectfully because I'm an elderly person myself. And so I'm just saying the combination of having lived on that street in that neighborhood for 35 years, I'm concerned, and that's why I bring it forward.
And it is now duly noted.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll keep track of that for sure.
It seems to me a bicycle stamp because I see them in other towns, other areas, and it makes you stop and look and think. That's
right.
My observation.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, if I may, on that final note, Bernadette, thank you so much for all you're doing. To those that are joining us virtually and here in person, thank you very much. Until next time, have a great afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.
I thought I was going to make a big motion.
Thank you. We brought along our major.
Animal, okay, motion to adjourn. You can go to the next part.
Yeah.
All in favor? Nope. It's always hard when people are leaving the room with their hands. That's the motion that everyone has. My apologies, and thank you for being so tolerant of my inexperience of doing this.
I need to do it.